Word of God, Word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were beside the sea, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give to us, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. And at this time, I invite up Vicki, whose message is entitled, "By Whose Authority?" Let us pray. May the words from my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord. Amen. I'll give you a bit more information about myself. Ann did a beautiful job, and I preach in a lot of churches, different churches throughout the year, but you did the best job of introducing me, even at my home church of Bethany. I am very proud to be a fourth-generation Colorado native, a lifelong Lutheran. The sixth generation of our family lives in Will County, Colorado, and my ancestors were brought to the area because of the farming that was in Will County. One group was German heritage and the other was Swedish. And all that made for interesting time when my parents got married, but that was another story. Let's see. I think everything else is here. Very happy to be back here after a year. And so in John 6 today, in verse 28, we heard, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Earlier in this chapter, we heard about the rejection of Jesus in Nazareth, as well as the commissioning of the 12 disciples. By whose authority? Jesus, earlier in this chapter, has just returned from Capernaum to Nazareth, his small hometown. His disciples were with him. Of course, they walked that distance of about 30 miles, and it probably took him about a day. Since he had recently cured a woman who had been sick for 12 years and raised a 12-year-old child from the dead, we might expect a hero's welcome in his hometown of Nazareth. Of course, this did not happen. In June of 1974, 50 years ago now, and I can't believe it's been 50 years, so kids, 50 years goes fast. I traveled from my hometown of Greeley to Nuremberg, Germany, as an exchange student for the summer. This was a huge adventure for me, since my longest journey before then had been to Disneyland, and my mom and my brother were with me for that trip. While I was in Europe, my host family treated me, as you might expect, as one of their own. Not only did I tour many parts of southern Germany, but we traveled to Salzburg, Austria. Now think about what happened in Salzburg, Austria in the 60s. This was a highlight for me, since one of my all-time favorite movies, go ahead, was The Sound of Music. It was filmed in Salzburg. I still remember joyfully running around all the sights I had seen in the movie and singing at the top of my lungs. Upon my return home, I was warmly welcomed and celebrated in various events. And what happened to our Lord when he returned to his hometown of Nazareth? I also, this week, have been thinking about those that might have been coming back from Vietnam at that same time. And I wonder how many people were welcoming them, whether they were nurses or whether they were soldiers or from the Air Force or whatever branch they may have been serving. Jesus taught in his home synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Then the people of Nazareth started talking as they left the synagogue, asking three key questions. Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? And is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary? In other words, by whose authority is Jesus doing all this? Let's first talk about the first two questions. There's a deep unwillingness to acknowledge Jesus as the Son of God. Perhaps if Jesus had returned to Nazareth as a mighty, conquering hero, they might have accepted him more readily. But he came in lowly grace, walking into town, and he was very humble. It appears that that offended many in his hometown. His relatives and friends might have been too close to him to accept him as who he was or his ministry. The Nazarenes themselves were a despised people. A popular attitude at the time was, can anything possibly come good out of Nazareth? Yet these social outcasts looked down on Jesus. What a commentary on the pride and the unbelief of the human heart. J.G. Miller warns, such unbelief as this has immense consequences for evil. It closes the channels of grace and mercy so that only a trickle gets through to humble lives in need. Again, Jesus' taste of the loneliness had been misunderstood and slighted. In the millennium since then, many of his followers have shared the same sorrow. Often the servants of the Lord appear in a very humble guise. Are we able to look beyond outward appearances and recognize true spiritual worth? Am I able to do that? I regularly go to other Rocky Mountain Synod congregations to preach and teach, just like I'm doing here today. In the past couple of years, I've also served as supply pastors, especially in Colorado, because in Colorado, we're not able to have a pastor in every church every Sunday after a pandemic. It'll be interesting to see if that same thing happens with our new bishop that just started this week. During all this time, not one person has questioned my authority to serve our Lord in these ways. And yet Jesus' authority was questioned, even in his hometown. One of my professors, and I'm sure one of yours, at Luther Seminary was Matthew Skinner, Dr. Matthew Skinner. And he's a big authority on many of the New Testament books, but especially Acts. And he said, it is possible, however, that stories about Jesus experiencing rejection and promising similar travails for his followers would be important to include in a narrative designed to rouse a sluggish or comfortably complacent community of believers into bolder action. Perhaps Mark and Acts was meant to shake up communities of Christ followers who have become paralyzed by indifference in their activities by doing the same thing year after year. By never changing it up. They become overconfident in their knowledge about Jesus or by smugness about Jesus' authority and commitment to them. This is a question I really ponder over. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary? This is the third question the Nazarenes asked among themselves after synagogue that day. This was yet another version of the question, by whose authority does he do this? Recently, I read in the Working Preacher website that social system where status was understood as fixed. In other words, whatever you were born as is what you stay for the rest of your life. and honor and shame become important considerations in those kinds of societies? Did they simply regard it as impossible for Jesus to ever amount to anything? The people of Nazareth indicate this negative perception when they identify Jesus as a carpenter. In other words, a low-status manual laborer, and as a son of Mary, hinting at his questionable fatherhood. Notice in this recalling in this Jesus story that Joseph is not mentioned at all in Mark. Where is Joseph? This is a patriarchal society where Joseph should be playing an important part. So where is he? Why is Mary mentioned, but there's no word about Joseph? Do we have neighbors that we automatically assume are not going to amount to anything? What about our neighbors that suffer from a mental illness? Or the veterans in our community struggling with an injury that we can see or one that we cannot see? Maybe you and I are not so different from the Nazarenes after all. But I do know this community does a beautiful job with the veterans' home here that's in Buffalo. And Larry and I took a drive. We decided to go west instead of do more north since we came to Colorado, and we saw a beautiful country we'd never seen before, and we drove by that veterans home again, and we remembered our visit there from last year and all the good work they're doing here, and I'm sure a lot of you support that good work. In fact, at the end of August at the veterans home in Florence, Colorado, we are going to three Rocky Mountain Synod churches are going to host a picnic and get together for all the residents of that home. And we're going to do that jointly. Bethany Lutheran, the church, ELCA church in Kansas City, whose name escapes me, and then also the one First Lutheran in Colorado Springs. And the choir director from First Lutheran Colorado Springs is going to bring the choir to come and perform. There'll probably be more choir members than there are the members that live at the Veterans Zone, but they'll be there singing nonetheless. Verse 5 tells us that Jesus could do no miracles in Nazareth, his hometown. He was able to lay hands on a few sick people and cure them. When I think about this verse, I wonder about all the people that Jesus might have helped if only the Nazarenes would have believed. Or maybe because of their unbelief, they attributed the miracles that Jesus did to someone else. What miracles have you seen lately? I've seen a bunch. As I was working on this sermon out of the blue with no request of my own, I was asked by Luther Seminary's God Pause director, and God Pause are daily devotions that come from Luther Seminary, to write the Veterans Day week 2024, seven different devotions. So I will be doing that, and they will start on November the 10th, and of course Veterans Day is November the 11th. And at the recent Rocky Mountain Synod Assembly, where we elected a new bishop, I was nominated myself as a possible lay delegate for the national gathering next year. It'll be a year from now. And to my surprise, I was actually voted in as one of the four lay delegates for the entire Rocky Mountain Synod to represent ourselves, our synod, at the National Assembly. And so our group, Veterans Servant Corps Project, believes that this is our initiative to take it from a Rocky Mountain Synod ministry to a ELCA ministry. So I will be serving our church that way in a year. Of course, God only knows where these miracles that all of us see every day may eventually lead. I thank God for the miracles in my life and the opportunity to lead them. It is unclear exactly why Jesus is unable to work his power in Nazareth, but what I find interesting is his response. Instead of throwing up his hands and saying, "A pox on all your houses," Jesus just shifts course. He shifts course without hating anyone. He goes out amongst the villages. He teaches, he trains, and enables his disciples to do these miracles also. Jesus did not stop in the face of adversity. He sidestepped, passed the ball, and kept on moving. I experienced this myself while I was going to seminary with Ann. I was a candidate in the Rocky Mountain Synod to become a deacon, and things did not go as planned. And I was really putting a pox on houses and being very angry for about a year. And then all of a sudden, Bishop Jim invited me to look at things a little bit differently. And Bishop Jim became my advocate. And he said, "You can do the work that God is calling you to do without being a deacon in the Rocky Mountain Synod." And he's the same man that invited me to go to church as a supply pastor, even though I am not ordained in any way. He's the same one that encouraged me to come and be here today. So I have to follow the lead of him instead of the one that was naturally came to me. Jesus did not stop in the face of adversity. He sidestepped. He passed the ball and he kept on moving. So then when Bishop Bim and I and my pastor Gary met in February of 2020, now think about what you were doing in February 2020. And then what came next? The longest month of all of our lives, March of 2020, when the pandemic started. And I'm going around the house. We just had this meeting. I have all these action items, and I'm going to Larry, this is never going to happen. And he said, well, I don't know anything about computers, but isn't there this thing called Zoom? and he said, maybe you can get with all these people and get Veteran Servant Corps Project going with Zoom. And that's exactly what happened. You know what the benefit of that was? Before March of 2020, every one of those 10 Sundays, area sentence would be expecting me to go on a personal visit. And they took no exception for me to do those on Zoom, and by golly, the ministry was created, and instead of taking a year and a half, we were done in 4 months, and in October of 2020, Veterans Servant Corps Project came to be. So God had a plan even despite a national, international pandemic. So, let us pray. Lord, when things are tough, help us to to ease our unbelief and empower each of us with the faith to be your miracle worker, not just today, but always. Amen.
Thank you so much for that message, Vicki. It also is a reminder of our veterans in the community. How many people here are veterans? I want to see some hands. I want to see something.
The wives count?
Yes.
Wives always count. What? Yeah. Veterans and wives of veterans. Go on. Okay. I see some. And knowing that we do have the Veterans Home of Wyoming right here, and I know I have had a long conversation with one of the residents up there and the need for more interaction with the community. And when I heard about the picnic, I'm thinking, what a wonderful outreach that could be. That may be the sort of thing we need to consider with our veterans home. I believe we have 60 residents. And just remembering what they have done for us, remembering that we have our freedom because of what people have done for us, and how we need to remember them much more than we do. So thank you so much for that.
Pastor Ann, if I can just add to that.
Yes, sir.
I go up there twice a week and visit and do tobacco cessation primarily. Mm-hmm. But those guys and gals, they just need one person to come up and visit them. They're bored, they're tired, they're frustrated with the system. I'll leave that right there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, if any of you feel a motivation just to go up and visit, check in at the admin office, talk to Sonia Patel, the social worker, visit with Mary